to DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The husband of missing Massachusetts mom, Anna Walsh, has now been charged with her murder. Brian Walsh will be arraigned tomorrow. Tulare County, California Sheriff Mike Boudreaux says he's seen a lot in his 36 years on the job, but the murders of six members of one family in a home is among the worst.
What I have not seen is the very apparent murder of a 10-month-old child for no reason. What I have not seen is the very clear assassination style to the head of a teenage mother. That I have not seen. It's egregious.
Boudreaux calls it a targeted killing. Auburn, Washington police say a suspect has been arrested for the attempted kidnapping of a barista from a drive-through window. It's expected the nation will hit the debt ceiling Thursday, but Democratic Senator Patty Murray says they will figure it out.
This is not new. We hear it every time.
This is ABC News. Former adult star Ron Jeremy has been found mentally incompetent to stand trial on rape and other charges. The official cause of Lisa Marie Presley's death may not be known for a while.
The LA County Coroner's Office is now confirming it has examined Lisa Marie Presley's body, but her cause of death is currently under the status of deferred. They're waiting on toxicology to come back to determine why she appeared to have cardiac arrest and what her actual cause of death was last week. Presley died at a hospital after medics were called for her being in full cardiac arrest. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Walgreens is removing its purchase limits on children's over-the-counter cold and flu drugs. Thanks to an improvement in stock, Rite Aid will lift its limits soon. CVS hasn't made any changes yet. The head of the World Food Program says support from the U.S., Germany, and others have let it postpone famine in Somalia. But the head of the UN agency warned some famine conditions already exist. Andy Field, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. A grassroots group wants a pledge that no abortions in Milwaukee will be prosecuted. Reproductive Justice Action is demanding DA John Chisholm sign a pledge ensuring the safety of residents and healthcare providers in his district. They're holding a press conference and rally tomorrow outside the Milwaukee County Safety Building. They're also asking Chisholm to work with Attorney General Josh Call to repeal Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban, which went into effect last summer after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Promising news if you drink water in Wausau. A new water treatment plant in the city is successfully removing PFAS from the city's drinking water. The plant came online last month with a filtration system that pulls the forever chemicals out of the water. Long-term exposure to PFAS has been linked to an increased risk of some cancers. You're listening to Civic Media in the Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
SmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Senate power destruction couple Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin front and center stage in Davos, Switzerland. And I'm going, exactly why? Why Senator Dipsy-Doo and the oil mansion are there in Switzerland? Don't they have work to do in... Never mind. Rest assured, rich people, they've got your back in the Senate. Sinema, who you may remember, last month became an independent, left the Democratic Party, used basically this World Economic Forum, you know, to kind of take a victory lap. Hey, look at me. She had her little outfit on. Joe and Kyrsten did a high five to say, you know, we're going to stop any filibuster reform. Basically telling rich people, don't worry about it. We got your back. We got you. We're going to do what you need. Those campaign dollars, well spent. Keep them coming. Basically what it is. And look, I look at this. I'm struggling with what to call it, because we're told this is where the rich and the powerful and the elite, they go to solve the world's problems, and we, you know, have big minds come together and you know, deal with big problems. It's not that. It's not that at all. It's basically a bunch of people who have come together and are primping and preening. It's basically a PR stunt of, hey, look at me, because we never seem to get anything accomplished out of this. That to me is kind of where we are. This is, how did one group put it? Our friends over at the Patriotic Millionaires, they call it what, survival of the richest. I mean, this is, and there's a new report out called Survival of the Richest, published by the people at Oxfam, who, again, when you look at these numbers and you look at the massive inequality in this country and the wealth consolidation, what's interesting to me is I get emails all the time from people going, you just hate rich people. No, I don't hate rich people. I don't. I thought someday I would like to be rich. Someday I'd like to walk down the street and find a lottery ticket and go, hey, look, I'm rich, because I've never played. But I have a problem with mass consolidation of wealth at the expense of, well, everybody else. And as we talked about yesterday, the fact is that for every new dollar of wealth that went to the 90% of us, you know, the working people, the people who clean up the mess, the people who make the products, the people who, you know, do everything that needs to be done to build an economy and make an economy run, you know, we the working people, for every dollar in new wealth that we gained, the top 1% pocketed $1.7 million. That's not a mistake. That's not a rounding error. That's not a decimal point movement. For every dollar in new wealth you got, they got $1.7 million. Think about the And you go, but you're just jealous. No, no, we have a massive distribution problem in this country and in this world. We have a massive problem. Over the past 2 years, when we've had this little pandemic thing, cost of living has just skyrocketed for working people. And who's benefited? The wealthy. Because what we know is the richest 1% of the global population, they've taken roughly 2/3 of all new wealth created. They've pocketed it. And you go, but you know, they're the smart ones. They work hard. No, nobody works that hard. I'm sorry, nobody. When you look at the mass consolidation of industries, you look at the fact that 4 companies control our meat supply, 3 companies control our cereal supply. You can go down the list of the mass consolidation that's happened and the corporate CEOs who have lined their pockets at the expense of workers. And you go, we should maybe do something. This Oxfam report points out that 95 food and energy corporations more than doubled their profits in 2022. And paid out $257 billion in those funds to shareholders. Most of them industrial shareholders. You stop and you think about this. Here's the thing. And I love the cookie analogy. This is like putting 10 cookies on the plate. One guy takes all 10 of them and there's a crumb left. And he goes to the mass of people in the room going, hey, better watch out. Somebody's going to grab that crumb. Because that's the world we're in right now. When you've got at least, according to the Oxfam report, 1.7 billion workers living in countries where inflation has outpaced wages, we got the U.S. being one of them, you got a problem. Got a problem. And you stop and think about, you know, what policymakers are doing. I think Biden has been doing the right things. I listen to what Republicans are telling me. We're going to cut taxes again? More tax cuts? Seriously? Especially when you look at the fact that, as Oxfam points out, for every $1 in taxes collected, only 4 cents comes from taxes on wealth. So the people who have all this wealth, have accumulated all this wealth, they're walking away. Have you ever seen the guy on TikTok? He wrote some book. I think he's the rich dad, poor dad guy. He talks about how smart the rich people are and how wage earners are stupid because you're trading your time for wages. Rich people, they have assets, and rich people don't pay taxes because they're smart. You know, the Trump thing. I get away with paying no taxes because I'm smart. He's not wrong. We don't tax wealth. We don't tax assets. And why? Well, because they've got really good lobbyists. We have seen massive inequality spring up right before our very eyes. In my lifetime, it has gotten exponentially worse. We are back into the Gilded Age. Only we're not suffering enough because we still have something of a social safety net. We still have something of labor laws that ensure a basic bottom line ability to survive. I don't have a problem with rich people. I have a problem with, oh my God, rich people. The kind of wealth that generations aren't going to be able to spend. And you think about the other statistic they threw out, that half of the world's billionaires live in countries without inheritance taxes, which means there's going to be about $5 trillion that's going to be passed on tax-free down the road, that it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing, and inequality will keep growing larger and larger. And what does that mean? Well, that means that the rich and powerful will go to things like Davos and have their little, hey, look at me, look at my little thing. We never solve any problems. We never figure out any problems. We never come to solutions. I can tell you what our problems are globally. Really simple. We have a real simple problem in this country. Too many workers making too few wages. We have a distribution of wealth problem in this country and on this planet. There are far too many people who go to bed hungry, and there are a handful of people who have the ability to make that go away. But no, we don't choose to, because, well, that's socialism. I can't tell you how many emails I get every day. People are like, oh, you're a commie, you're a socialist. No, I'm not. But I do believe that in the richest country in the history of civilization, at its wealthiest moment, on a planet that has never seen as much wealth as we have now? I'm sorry, people starving? Not something that I'm okay with. And understand, over the next several years, we're going to see more tax cuts because we're moving hard right. We're moving more pro-business, more pro-wealth because they own the media. They control the levers that control our thought processes and the corporations and the governments that do this stuff. And we're going to continue down this, and it's going to get worse. The question is, when does it snap back? When do we have enough? Now, interestingly enough, there was a story over at the Wall Street Journal, the newspaper of the investor class. That's what they used to bill themselves. Story titled, Shopper Rebellion Against Higher Prices Helps Slow Inflation. And there was one key line in there that I found really interesting, where they quote a study done by the Federal Reserve of Kansas City. They write that the Fed found that higher markups, the gap between what a firm charges and what it costs to produce an item, was a major driver in inflation in 2021. Yeah, they saw a good opportunity to line their pockets. They concluded that the companies, in some cases, were raising prices in 2021 in anticipation of future cost pressure rather than because of market power or outside demand. We knew this, but thank you, Wall Street Journal, for telling us what we knew last year and the year before. Greedy corporations saw an opportunity to line their pockets, and they used the fear of defense of the market, future potential, oh my gosh, those workers may demand higher wages. And they use that as their excuse. Interestingly enough, the Wall Street Journal newspaper is saying, hey, you know, consumers are kind of not happy and they're fighting back. And they're kind of slowly sending the message, okay, it's time to bring things down. Now, understand, a lot of these companies jump their prices 10, 20, 30%. So if they roll them back 10%, they roll them back 5%, you think, hey, oh my gosh, things are getting better, things are cheaper.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief, a break for California after weeks of pounding rainstorms that have resulted in floods and mudslides. President Biden says he's in contact with state officials.
I issued a disaster declaration to support recovery and to rebuild. And I'll be traveling to California on Thursday to assess the damage and see what additional support may be needed.
An announcement today from Norfolk District Attorney Michael Morrissey on the Massachusetts man facing a charge of misleading investigators in the search for his missing wife.
The investigation has now allowed police to obtain an arrest warrant charging Brian Walsh with the murder of his wife.
Due to rising sea levels, scientists in Hawaii are now moving birds to higher ground, other federal land, anywhere from 500 to 1,500 miles away. Lindsay Young is with the Pacific Rim Conservation.
We become surrogate parents for them for a while, and then when they are adults and ready to have chicks of their own, they come back to the spot that we move them to. So we're kind of tricking them into returning to a new location.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Republicans want to put bail on statewide ballots in April. The state Senate takes up the advisory referendum bill today. The proposed constitutional amendment would give Wisconsin judges more leeway in setting bail for dangerous defendants. The amendment is one of at least two proposed advisory questions seen as a way to drive voter turnout for conservatives running for state Supreme Court. A Texas brewery is canceling a scheduled rally featuring Kyle Rittenhouse. The Illinois man was acquitted of homicide charges in Wisconsin related to the Kenosha riots of 2020. Officials with Southern Star Brewing say the so-called rally against censorship doesn't reflect their values. Rittenhouse says he's disappointed. In sports, the Bucks host Toronto tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
done. We almost did it. We're almost going to get through today. But we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council. Melty Nazi faces.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that.
Okay. 21 minutes after the hour, this portion of the show brought to you by Cozy Earth. Not just sheets, not just pajamas. Oh, my God, Jody, they have no plush bath towels.
Oh.
Nice.
So soft. Mm-hmm. So fantastic. All made from the finest premium viscose, which is fun to say. And also, it's sustainable. It is. It's made from, right? Highly sustainable bamboo. Cozy Earth, a brand that made Oprah's Favorite Things list 5 years in a row. I'm going to tell you, Lily and Jane loved them, right?
They called you a monkey.
Yes. And they called them perfect. Yes. Perfect pajamas. I sent them the same ones I have, the black Eleganza with the white piping.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. The sheets, amazing. And the new bath towels. You gotta have them. Cozy Earth bedding comes in a beautiful reusable canvas tote, too. So let's get cozy. Sir, hurry. You can save 35% on Cozy Earth right now if you go to CozyEarth.com and type in Stephanie. That's 35% off. CozyEarth.com. The promo code is Stephanie.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a pack rat. Join the pack rat family. Call pack rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, pack rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You can have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day. with no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Arr! We be under attack. Man the long knives!
Prepare to be boarded.
Arr!
Flagship starboard bow!
What? No, not by the enemy flagship. By garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. It flows in from rivers and drain pipes. Many of folk don't know that when they throw trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. How can I enjoy Sail Me Bonnie Seas with all this trash in it? Why, there's soda pop bottles, plastic bags, even stinky leftover takeout. Fire at will, men! Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. If you don't, I'll make you walk me plank. Nah, just kidding. Seriously, though, learn more what you can do to keep the oceans healthy at KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jody Hamilton is here. Charlie Pierce coming up. Bottom of the hour. Lauren Boebert and... do we have cat fight? Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene have finished fighting in the girls' bathroom on the first day of school. Not kidding.
That happened.
Yeah. We're not sure. We will keep you apprised if they start throwing tampons at each other in the shower. One of them burns down the entire Congress with their mind. But anyway, they got in a cat fight
Neither of them are burning anything down with their mind. Let's just get this clear right now. There's not that much brain power in there.
Yeah, there isn't a mind between the two of them.
No way. Not happening.
What did Carrie do? Oh, she just had the pig's blood fall on everybody.
Mm-hmm. No.
That could be next.
No,
she burned everything.
She had nothing to do with the pig's blood.
No, other people did that. It fell on her. Oh, and then it fell on William Cat.
Bullies.
That's great. Right. Okay, here's my point. Well, Lauren Boebert.
You haven't seen Carrie, have you?
It was a long time ago. I do remember that they were at the grave and the hand comes up out of the grave.
That was,
That's at the very end.
Oh, I'm sorry. A hand comes up from out of the grave at the end of the movie.
It's a Stephen King thing.
Right, and gets Amy Irving, actually.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Correct.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, because Nancy Allen got killed.
Right.
What? Oh, no, thanks. Spoiler.
She did get killed because she blew up Nancy Allen's car.
Yeah. Right. And then Betty Buckley got it really badly in the middle of her body.
But not before she dropped the heart of the ocean and then also said Rosebud. Anyway.
And the wife did it.
What?
Huh? And she was
dead. They were all dead the whole time.
Spoiled every movie.
Okay. My point was QAnon Veronica, Lauren Boebert accused Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell of being conspiracy theorists.
What?
Oh, my God.
Really?
These are like the QAnon Betty and Veronica accusing someone else. Okay. And said they should be removed from the House Intelligence Committee. And now I'm going to have to wait for dumbass till after the break.
We have that's a long one.
Lauren Boebert, fresh from her girl fight. Uh-huh. And then we also have Jody Hamilton's boyfriend, Charlie Pierce.
He's in the waiting room.
Oh, he's already here.
Oh, dear God, please let it be him. Next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The husband of missing Massachusetts mom, Anna Walsh, has now been charged with her murder. Brian Walsh will be arraigned tomorrow. Tulare County, California Sheriff Mike Boudreaux says he's seen a lot in his 36 years on the job, but the murders of six members of one family in a home is among the worst.
What I have not seen is the very apparent murder of a 10-month-old child for no reason. What I have not seen is the very clear assassination style to the head of a teenage mother. That I have not seen. It's egregious.
Boudreaux calls it a targeted killing. Auburn, Washington police say a suspect has been arrested for the attempted kidnapping of a barista from a drive-through window. It's expected the nation will hit the debt ceiling Thursday, but Democratic Senator Patty Murray says they will figure it out.
This is not new. We hear it every time.
This is ABC News.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Republicans want to put bail on statewide ballots in April. The state Senate takes up the advisory referendum bill today. The proposed constitutional amendment would give Wisconsin judges more leeway in setting bail for dangerous defendants. The amendment is one of at least two proposed advisory questions seen as a way to drive voter turnout for conservatives running for state Supreme Court. A Texas brewery is canceling a scheduled rally featuring Kyle Rittenhouse. The Illinois man was acquitted of homicide charges in Wisconsin related to the Kenosha riots of 2020. Officials with Southern Star Brewing say the so-called rally against censorship doesn't reflect their values. Rittenhouse says he's disappointed. In sports, the Bucks host Toronto tonight. You're listening to Civic Media Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
They're attacking the future. To work for yard sanity and choice, go to rewild.org.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I love this. Politico had a story today with, or actually this was on Friday, I believe, with Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp and the electric car, and they called it a love story. And there was a line in there that caught my attention that I just thought was hysterical. They wrote, a former real estate developer who wears a cowboy hat, wears cowboy boots with his suit and scrunches his brow in a fashion of George W. Bush, the 59-year-old Kemp has emerged as a curious figure on the American right, a conservative hardliner whose enthusiasm for tax cuts and guns is matched only by his passion for charging stations and battery recycling. I'm going, wow, match that story with the story coming out of Wyoming, where you've got a group of legislators there who want to ban electric vehicles by 2035 because, well, it's going to hurt the gas industry. Interesting little juxtaposition you have on the right. And it's going to be interesting how they fight this out and where it goes. And here to share some thoughts on just how crazy this appears, because it looks very bizarre on the outside to me, I've asked my good friend Scott Paul to come talk with us. Scott's the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, AmericanManufacturing.org, the website. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, it's great to be with you.
So interesting kind of polar opposites in the Republican Party. Kemp, who seems to be embracing the new technology, may not buy any of the climate stuff, but sees it as, I think, jobs and all of that. And on the other side, nope, we want to go back to good old gas diesel guzzling stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we've both been working on these issues for a long time, right? And so one of the things that's always struck me is, like, at the state level, you generally get people, Republicans and Democrats, who are a little more pragmatic, particularly about economic development. Like, the thought of getting a semiconductor plant or an electric vehicle plant or a battery plant or a solar plant is very appealing. And so, you know, philosophy starts to erode a little bit in most cases. And I think that's certainly true with respect to Governor Kemp. I think it's shocking what the Wyoming legislators are doing. They're like, and I don't, you know, there are often reasons to be concerned about over automation or robotics. And so I want to be careful about how I say this, but like the classical Luddites that just for the sake, we don't want any progress at all. It's like, what's wrong with you? So, you know. And, you know, again, I mean, Kemp obviously is the governor of a state represented by two Democrats that Biden won and is growing, right? I mean, they're attracting people. Wyoming, there's more sheep than people.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, they can do what they want. It's ultimately not going to have a big impact on either climate change or the electric vehicle market. You know, those F-150 Lightnings that'll go faster than any gas combustion engine, 0 to 60 faster, they're going to miss out on them, apparently, if those guys get their way. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I look at, and I've been talking a lot about red state, blue state, because there are major different divides. I look at the red states who seem to be, you know, head in the sand, kind of, we want to go backwards kind of thinking, as we've got a lot of blue state thinking of, okay, what's the way forward? Now, look, I'm not 100% sold on EVs. There are a lot of problems that come with them that I don't know that we have answers to, but it seems a direction that we're going to go as a country, and it's going to be the jobs of the future, and we can talk about all those things. But it just seems to me this idea that, you know, that we've always done it this way is kind of the failed ideology that's tearing us apart. I'm curious. Yeah. Thoughts.
Yeah. Well, look, I think you're right, and clearly, you know, if you're not persuaded by the climate rationale, you know, I think a lot of consumers are looking and say, you know what, this is going to save me money from a power perspective over 5 years or, you know, whatever reason they want to do it, right? And so I think that's taking care of itself, because you see, you know, the number of EVs being sold every year in America is increasing exponentially.
Yep.
And so I think we're at the very lower end of this. And so, Rick, but the thing that's really interesting to me is, so you have Kemp, who obviously is the governor, who didn't have to vote on the Inflation Reduction Act or the Infrastructure Bill or the CHIPS Act or anything like that. But then you also have a bunch of Republicans in Congress who did vote against these things. And companies are locating solar panel production or wind turbine manufacturing facilities or battery facilities or electric vehicle assembly plants in their states. And so, you know, like there's a big, you know, try not to choke when you hear this, but like this Qcells, which is a big solar company, announced the biggest kind of like integrated solar manufacturing investment in America, that's going to be from raw materials to finished product, which is extraordinary given the state of the supply chain today. And it's in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district in Georgia. So I don't know how she's going to stumble around the logic of you know, being so unalterably opposed to all of these things, but having thousands of people, literally thousands of people, because it's going to be like 2,500 people who work at this thing. So which may make it the largest employer in her, you know, in her district ultimately, but that's going to be some twisted logic to try to.
No, but the other part of this, my mind goes to, you know, how is it that we're now using all these federal dollars from the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS Act and all the things to reshore manufacturing to reward people who are against it? It shouldn't. You know, there's part of me goes, why are we putting them in those places? Is there a strategic reason other than it's a no rights at work state?
Yeah. Well, so that is a great question. And I think some of these companies, unfortunately, do follow a pattern of trying to find of trying to avoid, you know, workers having a voice at the factory. I think in a lot of cases, that's not true. Right. Because you've seen like Intel locate a factory in
Columbus,
Columbus, Ohio, in Ohio. Upstate New York has attracted some semiconductor investment. You've seen some EV investment in Michigan, which and again, some of these upper Midwestern states have or had temporarily right to work, which obviously is ridiculous, right? But that's but those laws, you know, which are so biased in favor of corporations, you know, in Michigan, I'm sure it's going to get repealed.
It better. Right? So, it better.
Yeah. So I think, but I think one of the bigger factors, quite honestly, is we're the people, right? Because you need people to work in the factories, and sure, the unemployment rate's 3.5%, and so you got to kind of locate where people are moving to.
Right? That's an excellent point. And Georgia is a growing state. I mean, it is. While you know people are leaving some of the other state southern states, Georgia is a growing state.
Yeah. No, I'd like to see some of these companies follow like the lead of Microsoft, you know, with the, you know, the some of the gaming employees they have, where they had a neutrality agreement and they're organized. So it's possible to do it in like tech and other things, but you got to have an employer who's committed to it too. And I my hope is that, you know, Biden Democratic governors can persuade, you know, obviously Kemp's not going to do that, but Democratic governors can persuade companies to do a bit more of that and see the virtues and the benefits of doing that.
Yeah, because clearly we're not getting any major comprehensive labor law reform anytime soon with Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin in the Senate. After, did you see the display today in Davos? The high five over the filibuster?
Yeah. I don't even know what to make about that, what they're celebrating other than, you know, getting love from, again, big corporations and kind of the status quo and, you know, the global elites, you know, who think they're putting the skids on, you know, America becoming, you know, too progressive or something like that. It is kind of bizarre, Rick. Right?
Yeah. For me, it was a sign. Don't worry, corporate America. Don't worry, global corporations. We got your back, but we're doing you solid. You listen to the Rick Smith Show with Scott Paul. Scott's the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, AmericanManufacturing.org, the website. You got to check that out. Now here's the thing. I go back to this CHIPS Act. I go back to the Inflation Reduction Act. These are long-term policies going to pay dividends for years into the future. Sadly, we're tip of the nose political people. It's about the here and now. Does this messaging help that we see these plants coming online? My fear is that, you know, over the next couple of years, it's not going to happen fast enough. But I'm curious, yeah. is the rollout, is it happening quick enough? Are we seeing this manufacturing coming back where it's going to be noticeable in a discerning way?
You know, this is a great question from that purely political perspective, right? Because, you know it's a successful strategy if you're a political candidate to run against jobs going overseas and factories closing, right? I mean, that's been employed by a lot of Democrats and Republicans very successfully, including at the national level. Now, what I think is less clear, because we really haven't had that opportunity in over the last three decades, is how do you run on bringing plants back to the United States, which Biden has done? I mean, 750,000 new manufacturing jobs in 2 years, the largest amount of vehicle and clean energy investment that you've ever seen in our country. I mean, it is truly extraordinary what is happening. And so I think part of it is how people are feeling about their own personal economic situation. So as inflation comes down, as, you know, jobs hopefully continue to be available, you know, obviously that's going to be helpful because, you know, the economy drives voter preferences and behavior more than anything else historically. And so I think they should. But the danger is obviously if people aren't feeling that way and you're telling them that things are great, they don't like that either. So there's a lot to celebrate. And hopefully the good economic news will keep rolling out. Because I'll tell you something, these plant announcements are going to continue to come, and these things are getting built, and there's workers that are working now because of the infrastructure bill, and that are also building these semiconductor plants as well, and these electric vehicle plants, and so there's a massive amount that's already underway.
No, and it's good stuff. I mean, the reality is we've needed this for decades, but the reason I bring this up is it a realigning of global manufacturing. It's a realigning of our supply chains. You know, I've heard some rumblings from Europe that they're upset about the tax credits that Biden has put on American-made EVs. I know Janet Yellen's supposed to meet with the vice premier of China tomorrow in Switzerland, and there's some tension there. How do you see this kind of, as we're reclaiming some manufacturers, we're holding on to future manufacturing, how do you see this playing out around the globe?
Yeah, this is a great question. And so, you know, and we were out of the game for so many decades, and it was just taken for granted that the United States would kind of grin and bear it while we gave our jobs away, and we didn't do any of this. And so now that first you had kind of like the bull in the China shop in the form of Donald Trump, who, you know, talked a lot about this, did some things about it, but wasn't very strategic about any of it. The hope that Biden would do a 180-degree reversal, I think for the Europeans, for the Chinese government, I think that's they know that's not going to happen now. And in fact, Biden's going to be more effective in the way that he implements these tools with respect to trade policy or the Made in America aspects to the tax credits or to the spending. And so I do think that policy is here to stay. I don't think we're going to alter it for the Europeans. I think what we've told the Europeans is you should do the same thing. You know, you should have your own Buy European program for clean energy. And so I think finally, slowly, they're gravitating towards that because they realize that Biden's not going to back down.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is what I've been saying about Biden. And look, everyone's, you know, people have their visceral reactions, and I've got people who've, you know, called him all kinds of horrible names. For me, ultimately, I could care less about the noise. It's about the fact that he is undoing 40, 50 years of neoliberalism that's torn down borders and has made trade something that is not, we're not trading anything. We're simply buying things from a cheaper labor source and bringing it back into this country and corporations making wild profits. I see him as somewhat moving us towards changing those. You know, I would love to see those borders pop back up again. Domestic production for domestic consumption, something I've been saying for almost two decades now on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, we're getting there. And you alluded to this. I mean, the data are showing some progress. And, you know, in business investment by U.S. companies in China plateaued and is now going down. Okay, which is pretty significant. Chinese imports as a share of our trade deficit, that's being reduced too. I'm not going to pretend like these things don't exist because they're still massive.
Massive.
We still have a massive imbalance. And some of that Chinese imports, they're getting displaced by imports from Mexico, imports from Vietnam. And so we do have reason to still be concerned very much about the trade policy and other aspects of that. But we are, you know, we're no longer at like peak neoliberalism, peak free trade, you know, peak globalization. We're on the other side of that into something new. And I think that there will be turns back and forth probably. But I think in general, you're going to see much more of this, certainly regionalization of production, like we do for automobiles. And, you know, we've been able to, I think, mostly hold our own with that strategy. And that's certainly the way the electric vehicle tax benefit is $7,500 credit is structured too. It's a North American credit. And right. So I think there's a realization that we probably have a fighting chance there. And so, the data are showing that. And I also think another important thing is like the whiz kid MBAs and the management consulting firms are no longer saying, go produce something in China. In fact, they're pretty much saying the opposite now because of all the political risk that's attendant with that.
And you wonder why working people don't trust the smart whiz kid MBAs, because the working people are always the one who take it on the chin when they come up with their latest great idea.
And this is just another example of it. I was saying that tongue in cheek. They're not geniuses.
I know.
By any stretch of the imagination. It's like a herd mentality. And then everybody copies each other's idea. And then you end up with the kind of disaster that we've had. And now they're all saying, oh, wow, we now listen to our strategy. It's bring some of this back. You know, aren't we smart? And it's like, no, not really.
No.
We've been saying that for a long time. So
last question I've got for you, because, you know, moving toward where I hope we're going, I think that will make us more competitive with China and actually get China to buy more of our things. And maybe open their markets up a little bit and make them more competitive? Or is this just grasping at straws?
Well, that's a great question. I think that's an unknown. And certainly, the Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, does have this kind of fortress mentality where he wants to build up Chinese technological capabilities from the inside and still try to game the global trading system. However, he's got a shrinking population. Their growth is going to slow down. So, Rick, to your point, they are going to have to think about how they do this. And just depending on exports and state subsidies is not going to work the same way for China as it worked in the past. And so there may be some hope. But at the same time, his kind of nationalistic streak is going to work against our getting more products in there as well.
Well, we'll see how this plays out. I'm happy with what Biden's doing thus far. We need to stay the course on this front, and keep down this path and reclaim some of our manufacturing and actually make things here again. But Scott, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff, my friend.
Rick, great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Our good friend Scott Paul. Make sure you check out their website. AmericanManufacturing.org. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. Smith. And this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1915. It was the day that the people of Chicago stood up to demand an end to hunger and unemployment. Their stand began at a meeting at Bowen Hall, part of the Hull House complex founded by Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams. The number of unemployed had grown across the country due to an economic recession. A harsh winter had made the situation even more desperate in Chicago for thousands of out-of-work and homeless people. 900 people crowded into the hall for the meeting of the League of the Unemployed. More stood outside, straining to hear the speeches. One of the speakers was the fiery Lucy Parsons, the wife of one of the Haymarket martyrs. At the front of the hall hung a black banner emblazoned with one word in white letters, hunger. Those attending the meeting decided to march to City Hall to express their demand for work. Some in the crowd carried banners. One read, "Why starve in the midst of plenty?" Another demanded, "Give us this day our daily bread." This banner was fittingly carried by Episcopal priest John Tucker, known affectionately as Friar Tuck. 1,500 people marched that day, and with them, they had a new anthem to sing as they marched. For the first time, Ralph Chaplin introduced his song, The Labor Anthem, Solidarity Forever. As the march made its way downtown, it was met by the Chicago police. Brandishing batons, the police dispersed the marchers. More than 20 were arrested, including Lucy Parsons and Friar Tuck. Now, more than a century later, Solidarity Forever is still sung when working people gather to stand up united.
Solidarity forever, solidarity forever.
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So, congressional assignments coming out. Marjorie Trainwreck Greene, she's on the Homeland Security Committee. Boy, I feel safer already. Paul Gosar, the dentist guy, he's a crazy one. He's going to be on the House Natural Resource Committee. Now, remember, these are the two that Democrats got thrown off of their committees for various insanity. And I said from the beginning, and I'll stick with it, should have never done that. It was a dumb thing to do. Should have left them there. Should have never taken Marjorie Three Names off the Education Committee. Simply because anytime you would want to increase funding, and we need to increase funding for education, you just turn to her and go, look, Exhibit A, Your Honor. The reason why we need a more educated populace. Also, George Santos, remember him? Yeah, the liar. Let's go with liar. Evidently, he's got a committee assignment. McCarthy, I guess, decided, yep, we're going to give him one. He's on the Small Business Committee, which I find interesting since, you know, he claims that he doubled the profits at Goldman Sachs, a place where he never actually worked. He got an MBA from NYU, a place where he never attended. Yeah. Let the fun begin. And speaking of crazy, have you been following this story out of New Mexico where evidently, you know, some people were shooting at the homes of Democratic representatives? Well, they arrested a guy. He calls himself the MAGA King. Solomon Pena is his name. He's an election denier. He lost an election in a squeaker. I mean, it was really a squeaker. He refused to concede his House District 14 race. He's researching his options, he said. For those who don't know what the election results were, the person who won, Miguel Garcia, won 74% of the vote. Pena got 26. But it was a squeaker. He's checking his options. Because somehow, you know, almost 50% of the people who, that 50% margin, they must have been illegals. If you follow the Trump logic, if you follow the down the rabbit hole logic, the QAnon kooky stuff, yeah. But evidently he's been arrested because evidently he paid some people to shoot up these homes. He orchestrated four shootings of elected Democrats. Yeah, this is the kind of scary people that we're dealing with. Not in touch with reality. And I keep saying we do need to have some massive group therapy. some massive funding on mental health treatment and well, just plain sanity. Now, North Dakota, they've decided they're going to purify their state. They are going to ban sexually explicit books. So anything that mentions sex, anything, gone. Now, what's interesting is this is one of the states that if you look at like Pornhub statistics, one of the states really high. I can justify that by going Pornhub is an internet site with videos. They're against books. So it's the reading they have a problem. It's not the sex. It's not the graphic stuff. It's the reading they have a problem with. I've boiled it down to the simplest form. It's the reading. That simple. Crazy, isn't it? What a crazy world.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV.